now.
Hola, hello, greetings, salutations, and all the other hellos, whatnot, what have yous. Welcome to Cirque du Psyche, our podcast. We claim it to be anyway. Welcome. Episode 20?
Yes.
I just asked you that and I already forgot.
Yep.
Episode 20 of Cirque du Psyche. I am your host, Tanner, the Cosmic Potato Farmer, and I'm excited to be here.
Holy cow.
And across from me is Monica, the indubitable Space Fox, who is my button pusher extraordinaire. And she has red hair. That's why I call her a fox.
Foxy.
Foxy.
I don't consider myself foxy, though.
I do. Anyway, here we are.
Hello.
Here we are, another full-length podcast. We haven't done one in a while.
Yeah, it's been a good minute.
It's kind of awkward. It's weird how you leave something.
Yeah.
Come back and you're like, I don't know what to do with my hands or my feet or my mouth.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I have a better chair.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the greatest, but it's way better than what I had. Because I've been sitting a lot lately.
Yeah.
Doing my soil food web course, which is going swimmingly, if anybody cares.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a master at acing all my quizzes, mostly.
Yep. For the most part. I mean, you haven't failed anything.
I haven't failed, but.
And you hadn't even come close to failing, so.
Nope. Nope, because failure is not an option. Yeah. So, anyway, what's up?
Not much.
Huh. Are we going to tell the people who this podcast is sponsored by? See, I'm not into the swing of things.
Oh, yeah.
Rusty. I wish I had like a rusty hinge. Like a rusty little sound effect over there. Yeah.
Dang.
So this podcast is indeed infactual. Sponsored by Ace Basin Excursions. I was almost going to forget the name. Because I don't ever say his business name. It's Rick. Ace Basin Excursions.
Yep.
Rick Rudd. He's the man. Go see him for all your gator hunting and inshore fishing needs. He may be coming out to our undisclosed location to do some gator hunting soon, too.
Yep.
Soonish, when the season comes back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I might get help. I'm kind of excited about that. So he explained to me how he does that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like on private land, he'll get somebody who knows the place to kind of guide him around, whatever. And I'm sure he'll come out here and orient himself too. But, like, say, take our fish pond back there, for example, where I shot Chomp Chomp. Like, he'll take the client, and the client would be like, I want that gator. And so, Rick and the client will sit up, post up, and I'll post up, like back in the old sniper days, which Rick was actually a sniper too. I'll post up my little binos and my gun. I'll have a gun too, just in case, because I'm going to. Let's just say I'm going to. I'm looking through fake binoculars right now. And I'll post up and I'll watch. And my job is to, when the client shoots the gator and pew when he shoots it and hits it, and my job is to look at the spot. Even when the gator's gone, I look at the spot. I don't move my eyes. I'm looking where I saw the gator last, looking. And then Rick will get into the boat. Hey, I can stop looking through the binoculars now. We'll get in the boat, and I'll guide him through walkie or something and say, hey, you know, go, you know, that's where it was. And he'll start doing the little treble hook, trying to bring it up.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Words aren't wording.
Obligatory dead space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to have a dead space every episode, apparently.
Yeah, because I look at you like, take it away.
Take it away, Monica.
And you're like,
now what?
crickets.
I got a cricket button.
I know, but you hate them.
I know. I don't like those crickets at all.
Whatever.
Anyway,
what news dost thou bring us forth?
We have.
Into the podcast.
A kids summer camp for the garden.
Oh, we do.
Coming up.
Yes.
That is.
So did we? Yeah, we talked about the grand opening, right? In our
yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So.
So we are hosting a summer camp kids ages 6 to 12 in July.
Yep.
A whole week
yep.
of learning how to garden for children in yeah. that age group.
It's not just going to be learning how to garden. It's going to be other things. But it's going to be garden or focused, oriented, because mm-hmm. it's in the garden. It's a garden yeah. summer camp.
Yep.
The community garden summer camp.
We're excited about that.
Yeah, and we also have our first class.
Adult class, yes.
Yeah, class. We yeah. call it adults. I mean, you don't have to be a crusty old adult to come to, but it's not going to be little kid friendly. So mm-hmm. if you got like a nerdy teenager who likes to garden, likes yeah. to learn things, they can come too.
Yep.
Excuse me.
What is it about?
Natural fertilization.
Yep.
Yeah. So every month we're going to teach a class on the third Saturday. Not necessarily me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't mind doing it, because I just heard this today and I can't remember who said it. And I've heard it before. When you learn something, you know, so like me, I love learning.
Mm-hmm.
I love teaching. And when you teach what you've learned, you learn it twice. When you teach, you learn it twice.
Yeah.
I like that.
So yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. I don't remember who said it.
Either. I don't know. I heard, guess who said it today?
Billy.
Billy. But it wasn't his podcast, though. He was on another podcast talking, and I heard him say, yes, yeah, it's who I heard say it today, Billy.
Mm.
But I think that's one phrase that he didn't actually coin, though.
Yeah.
excuse me. Of course, for podcasts on, I'm coughing again.
Yeah.
But he's the king of one-liners, like even better than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Get to the chopper.
Oh, my gosh.
You know that's why Lou Ferrigno is deaf?
What?
Because, you know, Lou Ferrigno, you know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Lou Ferrigno and Arnold was like in the gym together. Like their primes were like together working out. I guess they were, I don't know if Lou Ferrigno competed against him or whatever. Because what was Arnold, like Mr. Universe or something they called it?
Yeah.
Or bodybuilding or whatever. But yeah, you know that's why he's deaf?
Because
he's working out and Arnold Schwarzenegger was there snatching weights.
That's mean.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not why, but
yeah. Anyway,
I like Lou Ferrigno. Hmm. What was that show he was on? The sitcom where he was like super nice neighbor, like very.
Oh, King of Queens.
Yeah, it was always like baking stuff and planting flowers. It's like this jacked old man. He's awesome. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger anymore. Oh, what is that? Small business promotion time.
I seriously blanked at which button to push for a second.
Yeah, but you just were like shutting down over there.
I know, my brain was hurting.
And we're going to get sidetracked that one time. See if we get. Small business promotion time brought to you by Cirque du Not Soleil. So today we're going to talk about our local movie theater, Ivanhoe Family Cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they were open originally, but I know when I was growing up here, we'd go to the movies every now and then, once in a blue moon. And then when I started driving, every Friday, I'd go to the movies. And it was $1 for a movie.
Jeez.
Yeah. But it's cool, man. It's family owned. And it just got bought by new owners.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we're a little worried. You know, you always worry when new leadership, new ownership takes over something. Yeah. But we also go to church there. That's where we hold our little church at the movie theater. Make fun all you want, but I bet we got more comfortable chairs than y'all do. Mm-hmm. It's not. So we got to know the people there pretty well because of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so far it's still been awesome. But it's cool. It's they got four theaters, but one of them had like a fire or something several years ago.
Yeah.
And it's still like in limbo, but they got three little screens there. But it's cool, man. It's like, it's affordable. They got all the amazing movie snacks there.
Yeah.
And we just went there, me and the boys went there when?
Sunday,
to see the new Karate Kid movie, which was awesome.
Shut up.
Mostly because Jaden Smith wasn't in it. Stupid little punk. But it was really good. They did a really good job, man. It's hard for me to keep interest to a movie nowadays, and I loved every bit of that movie. It was good. It kept the flow going real good.
Yeah.
It was good. They did a good job. And, what?
Hold on.
Alrighty, now we're back. We paused. I don't know. Can you really tell?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
It literally is no difference.
Now you know.
Now you know. We paused.
Monica, the indubitable hackmaster, had to take a break.
Couldn't stop clearing my throat, man. Yeah. Sorry.
But anyway, I got off topic talking about the movie more than the movie theater.
Yeah.
So anyway, theater. So yeah, go check it out. It's on Ivanhoe Road. And it's called Ivanhoe Family Theaters in Walterboro. So if you ever want to see a movie, go check it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I did learn something because one of the girls I worked there, Chelsea, got to know her pretty well. I was asking her one day about how to pick movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I always thought it was the owners or whoever runs the show says, hey, I want to show A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. They have like contractual obligations they got to fulfill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can't exactly pick what movies. So it's like, oh, there's a really cool movie coming out. You're all going to have that? Yeah, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, and they've got to have it a certain amount of showings amount of time. And
like
weeks.
This stupid Deadpool movie was there for like a million weeks.
Way too long.
Stupid. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, ruined Amir's birthday.
Yeah.
Because so many people had to see Deadpool, they closed down. What movie did he want to see? Was it the Minions?
No.
It wasn't Minions.
It was Mario?
No, it wasn't Mario.
No.
Anyway, whatever movie he wanted to see.
Yeah.
We took him on his birthday and went to see it. And there was no, this is the old ownership. Not saying that, you know, whatever, but whatever movie he wanted to see, we got up there. Me and him were going to go see it. Y'all were going to go see the Twisters movie or whatever. But we get up there and, oh, we shut that one down to open up a second one for Deadpool because so many people wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm. But the cool thing was, poor Chelsea felt so bad that Sunday after church, we got to go see it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she gave him all kind of cool stuff.
Yep.
You sure what, Minions? Because I felt like you got a bunch of Minion stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like he's a huge Minion fan. It just happened to be on his birthday, and that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anywho, we did.
Go support them.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't, do we have any more news to talk about? Anything cool going on? Pretty much my whole life is existing around a soil food web, and I'm not really even angry about it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love this course.
Mm.
It's cool. I can nerd out. If you want to nerd out about soil microbes and stuff, come talk to me. Or you can email us through our email.
Yeah.
Duh.
What is it?
Cirque du Psyche at Gmail. Dang it. You said Gmail last time, too.
Yeah.
CirqueDuPsyche@Outlook.com. Email us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
He'll nerd out with you on if you want.
I will.
So.
Yep. One day I'll do a whole podcast about it, or maybe even like a week-long series. Because it's... Anyway. Don't get me started talking on it.
You won't stop.
So yesterday at the coffee shop when I was telling you all that about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Was I explaining that in a way that made sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a pretty decent understanding of what's going on for the most part already.
I try.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
It's hard for me to find people to talk to about things I like because not a lot of people like things I like.
Aww.
It's just too much brain exercises.
Jeez.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't like to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what we got? We're talking about something today?
Well, yeah. Do we do our garden tip now?
I thought we did that towards the end.
Towards the end.
That's right. Fine. Here, look here. I'm gonna read what I got read. We got intro. We got banter, which is Monica's favorite.
Banter.
Yeah. News, farm/personal. And then we'll throw the sponsor in there, which we kind of did that backwards, I guess. But anyway, their small business, topic, word of the day, and a garden tip. It's right there towards the end. You're talking about me not staying on track. Look at you.
I mean...
Are we going to do all this stuff? You forgot about this. Like, I have a list keeping me on track. You won't put me on a leash, but you're over there running wild and free. And I can't do what I want to do. Tyrant.
Go ahead.
You're a tyrant.
Go ahead. Do what you want.
I will. Anyway, do you want to go ahead and do the garden tip since you're so desperate? I don't even know what it is.
You don't.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Knock it out. Way out of order. Cool.
So, we've had an issue with our tomatoes at the...
Everybody.
Yeah.
This year, yeah.
So, something I completely just left my brain when I planted my tomato plants was... I actually learned this from somebody else. When you go to plant your tomato plants, your starts, take an egg.
Or seeds.
Yeah. Well, you don't want really... Anyway, plant starts when you're actually putting them in your garden, not when you're starting seeds. Oh. Yeah. Is take an egg, crack your egg into your hole.
The whole egg, like yolk and everything?
Yeah, the yolk, everything, eggshell in the hole. Plant your tomato plant.
And it's your calcium.
And that's your calcium. We have had blossom end rot, I can't think of what it's called or whatever, but like the leaves curl up in onto itself. And all that's because it's a lack of calcium.
Calcium deficiency.
Eggshells, eggs, plant your tomato plants. I'm very animated right now.
You are. Maybe you need to be on video.
Well, I already took a picture of you with your binoculars earlier. Really? Yeah, I did. Your plants, your tomatoes are lacking calcium. So add either
soil,
you can.
That's something I just learned today. The soil in general seems to be lacking calcium.
You can go ahead and add eggshells, crushed eggshells to the top of the soil. If you've already gotten your plants started, which I hope you have because it's a little late to start tomatoes. But yeah, calcium, eggshells. Tomatoes. Blossom and rot. They need it. That's my garden tip for the day. All right. Topic. We have a topic today. Woohoo!
Introduce us to our topic because you came up with it.
Well, there's kind of a two-part to this. It's
Not really. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah. It's two different words. Is
wow.
Good one, Monica. Really? It's homesteading and preparedness. So.
Take it away.
No.
No? So what? So let me ask
you. I do have notes, but yes. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
What? So what is homesteading? Because I think homesteading in the last handful of years has gotten a bad rap.
Yeah.
And it's because of the political environment and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The bad YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Which is most of it, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
So when most people say, oh, I'm going to homestead, and everybody's like, eh. Yes, you know, everybody thinks, oh, it's been done.
Yeah.
Right. So what does homesteading mean to you?
Not relying on grocery store foods is the main thing that I think of, like providing for yourself instead of relying on somebody else to feed the junk.
Mm. I think that's why most people is food,
because
you got to eat to live.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So me, it's just like, it's decentralized security. It encompasses everything, not just your food. My beard is stuck on my mic. Not just your food, but like everything. You know, your water, which I guess it doesn't really go hand in hand with food. That's a whole different thing. Water, food, medical security, because you can grow a lot of your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just everything, really. But I wasn't going to say housing. Mm-hmm. Like, you homestead, you want to go off-grid, which I don't think off-grid's really feasible nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very hard to do. But, you know, if you want to, like, certain parts of your life off-grid, whatever. Regulations, man.
Mm-hmm.
Housing rate is so tyrannical where we already pay property taxes and now you're going to tell me what I can and can't live on.
Yeah.
On my property.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's with the popularity that homesteading got for the last handful of years, I think that sparked those regulations.
Yeah.
Because the system was like, oh no, people are going, you know, not necessarily off grid, but like, you know, using less. Live in a more sufficient less consumptive lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And they didn't like that. Mm-hmm. People were living in more efficient homes, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think anytime something gets popular, it sparks more control.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're at homesteading. Like, I got sick and tired of it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, not necessarily, oh, let's go live back in the suburbs, but it's like, crap, man. It's sickening. Every time you turn around, you're wanting to control another aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the land that are free, right?
Yeah.
We do. Let's, news alert. We do not live in a free country.
Mm-mm.
You tell me one thing that's not regulated or taxed or both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're not free. When you're paying property taxes, you don't own your property and you never will.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so homesteading to me is trying to get away from that control, right? You live like our ancestors did. Leave me alone and I'll leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hurting anybody. Why you got to come in here and get my business and control me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But to me, that's what homesteading means at its core. Just living a free, healthy, quiet life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting harder and harder to do. It's like, you know, a lot of these people, they withdraw from society, not necessarily to be a hermit, but just like, you know, pulling out because that's their choice.
Yeah.
And they want to live a quiet life, live their days out on their land, and which is fine. But now it's getting to the point where now you have to show up to the council meetings. You have to know what's going on. You have to push back. And it's just like, bro, this is not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's a negative outlook there on homesteading.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about the positives of homesteading.
Yeah.
And what are they?
Growing your own food. Knowing what's going into your food.
Yeah. And where does that start?
I don't know what you're... What?
In the soil microbes. In the microbiology, the biology of your soil.
Yeah.
Shake my head.
Shake
these people
your
can't
head.
See it. What was that? The accountant we just watched? And the girl was sending the information, and she said when she sighed, heavy sigh.
Heavy sigh every
heavy
time.
Sigh.
Yeah, heavy sigh.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, start with your soil, getting your soil healthy the right way.
So how you want to go about this? You want to build a homestead?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to talk about homesteading in general?
I'm going to build a homestead, and that kind of had my notes that way.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Kind of.
You take it away.
So I was saying in my notes, you don't need a whole bunch of land.
Nope.
We've learned that the hard way.
You can literally homestead in
a backyard.
Like a suburb.
Yeah. It's... Having land, for one, is overrated. It's not a bad thing to have standoff, but you don't need that much to have a homestead.
That how many times we heard people say, oh, we'll start when we get land.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to buy 10, 12, 15, 20 acres and then figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of space to manage.
Yeah.
Wait till summertime when... my garden's growing, but everything else is too. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Should I get pigs to help clear it out? Have you ever had pigs before?
Mm-hmm. Do you have the infrastructure for that?
Community.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. So if we ever move again, I'm not going to look for land. I'm going to look for a community.
Yeah.
That's how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Our community sucks. And we've talked about this before. But anyway, continue on. I agree with the land aspect.
Yeah. And I said you can start small. Start in your backyard.
Yeah.
Even if you do have land, you don't need a half acre garden or a quarter acre garden.
We use 2 acres of all of our land. The rest of it just chills.
Yeah.
And out of that 2 acres, we don't even use all of it.
Yeah.
It's just our livable, usable space. The rest of it is wooded and stuff. I mean, we might get better eventually, but...
Yeah.
Even if you do have land, you don't have to use every square inch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to start a garden, start with some raised beds. It's very simple.
Right in your front yard.
Right in your front yard. Or your backyard, if that's south-facing.
Yeah, if it's a better spot, yeah. right up on the house.
Yeah. So, even if you want to start with animals, start small. Have your
infrastructure.
Yeah. Have those built. Have all your fencing on hand, or if you're going to have hard fencing.
Yeah, or mobile, if you're going
to
do mobile.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, like fencing, mobile fencing, have all that ready before you get the animals.
Yeah, and learn how to use it before you put animals in it.
Yeah. And then also feeding those animals.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Very expensive.
So food scraps. Trying to reach out.
Eating off your land.
Yes.
Will help because you'll generate food scraps.
Yeah. Or finding somebody to partner with.
Yeah.
Getting food scraps from somebody else or your community. Oh, look at that.
Oh, like they have a community?
I hope so.
Yeah. So that brings up a good point too. Like go, like find an area, or if you're already in one and you're saying, hey, I want to turn my place to a homestead. I want a homestead, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're moving there, you're new to the area, before you jump in and make a whole bunch of mistakes and go broke, ask me how I know. Partner with someone there. Make a friend that's already doing this. Say, hey, can I come check it out? Can I help work here and or, you know, form a partnership and, you know, whatever. And it may be that, hey, this works better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need animals because this guy is killing it over here and he's got more than he needs, but he sucks at growing tomatoes. I can do that and we can form a partnership. And that's how a community starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, hey, let me work with you for a year and learn how you do this and I'll translate that to my property.
Yeah.
Right? And start strong.
Yep.
And then you have a neighboring homestead that's, you know, doing the same things or similar or close or whatever, and you're both killing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having to limp along and big and whatever. I don't know. Just, but just slow down.
Yeah.
Because we didn't. And I grew up doing this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's so different nowadays because of the economy, the political BS, the everything, man. Neighbors suck now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And it, unfortunately, it's like a lot of places, if you don't look for a community to a place you're moving to, you're going to be an island at first.
Yeah.
And it sucks, but that just seems to be the norm nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have neighbors around us who are doing this semi, and how many times they come to us, what should we do? We tell them this, that, and everything. We get so excited, we're going to have more neighbors doing this the right way. We turn around, no, they're not.
Yeah.
And they lose steam, and it's like, dang it, well... And then you got neighbors who live next door to you that steal your mail.
Hmm.
Yes. They steal your mail.
I forgot to tell Doug about that because it was literally, I was talking to him about those predator lights.
Yeah.
And how we ordered more.
Yep.
And literally it was the next day after I told him that.
We saw them on
our neighbor's chicken run.
And we're not assuming. So these things are not something that most people know about or use.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time they've gotten their mail.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time they did, I had to go over there.
It was like a week.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we have your mail. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like literally they could walk to the fence and say, hey. And
I'll
hear them go outside and be like, what? And you're like, hey, this is your mail. I'm like, oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. But no, just open my mail and use it. It's cool.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, but
anyway, we're not bitter at all.
Get negative again. Anyway, no. So start small. Start where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Start with one thing. Start inside.
Yeah.
Like homesteading doesn't have to be all, you know, it's romanticized to the point to where it's designed to make people fail.
Mm-hmm.
Just like farming. You go to a farm, people come out here and be like, this doesn't look like a farm. Actually, it looks more like a farm than any other farm you've probably ever been to.
Yeah.
Because it's not the postage stamp. It's not the calendar farm with the half-inch grass and the starving livestock in the pastures that are hoping that the people who pulled up is going to go get a quarter's worth of all stock out the little machine and feed me through the fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, but don't fall into the trap, the YouTube trap, because most of those people are full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
If you want more information on that, go see William Bond at the Permaculture Consultant. He just did an amazing video about crappy YouTube versus good YouTube. And he calls some people out.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right. And that's kind of the trap we fell into. Like I say, even though I grew up doing this, you know, mostly out of necessity, But now I want to. It's just like you, if you don't have a good base of understanding of what you're going into and what you're, like a goal, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You will. You may not fail completely, but it's, you know, you're going to crash hard at some point. But like, but start inside. Start with one thing. Learn how to make bread. Mm-hmm. Learn how to make jelly. And you'll be amazed at what you can make jelly out of. Yeah. My favorite jelly grows all over the farm. Well, the jelly doesn't. But the
ingredient, the main ingredient.
Yeah, it's American Beauty Berry.
Yeah.
Grows all over the place.
People grow it.
Yeah, cut it down. Like,
no, people grow it as like bushes in their gardens, like in neighborhoods even.
Yeah, but it grows all over the place here. And that turns out it's my favorite jelly.
Mm-hmm. Very pretty.
The girl at the farmer's market made red clover jelly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do that. We got red clover all over. We got acres of it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Learn, you know, take something that's already available. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, don't go out and spend a ton of money and just like, oh, well, they got it. Well, okay. Well, how long did it take them to get that? Or do they actually have a ton of money and that's just a set that, you know, they don't actually rely on that for, you know, they're going to go to the steakhouse later, get that Wagyu.
Yeah.
Because you paid them to pretend they're homesteading.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we've talked about this a little bit before, that when we bought our property, we had equity from our house.
Yeah.
And we didn't make good choices with it, basically. Well,
we had a plan, but it just wasn't a good one to find out.
So one thing I said in my notes was make good investments on good quality infrastructures.
Yeah.
Yeah, is like huge, because that chicken tractor that we got out there.
The chick shawl?
Well, not really. Not chick shawl.
Oh, the new one.
The new one.
Oh, man, yeah.
The thing is awesome.
Yeah.
And we won't have to replace that in a couple of years.
No, you'll get sticker shock when you buy things like that, but I just did, what do you call that? A cost analysis.
Oh.
Because I built two Salatin style, and you can Googleize that, whatever. Look it up. So Salatin style tractors, and they're great. They work fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of suck when it's time to harvest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're only 2 feet tall, and you got to climb in there and get your chickens. Mm-hmm. And so I found out, like, hey, it works, but, you know, and sometimes you have to learn things like that on the go, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But it cost about $1,000 to build each one.
Mm-hmm.
And out here in the southern heat and everything, and our weather and, you know, humidity, things don't last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so these, after heavy use, need to be rebuilt after going on 3 years, not even 3 years.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, I can use parts of it. No, the whole thing needs to be redone.
Yeah.
Except for the wheel system. Mm-hmm. Those are a chick lift.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Those are amazing. And those will last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you save a little bit of money there, $300, whatever it was, per set.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it needs to be rebuilt. And I'm just like, dude, if I do this every 2 years, that's $2,000 every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds up.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, you know, somebody else, you know, I work for somebody who actually pays for that, but that doesn't mean I'm just going to go out, I'm just going to blow his money.
Yeah.
I'm still going to make smart financial decisions in that aspect, because that's being a responsible manager.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was like, it's got to be something better. Dude, like the same day we saw something on TV, like, where has this thing been? Because I want 800 of them, even though I only need one. But it was like $4,000.
Mm-hmm. For the big one.
For the big size. Ones. It's a 12 by 12. It's a movable. And I was about to build new ones. That I could walk into.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. I want to walk into something without having to crawl on my hands and knees and chickens roundhouse kicking me like Patrick Swayze and pooping everywhere. And so I was just about to start building something. I had to go buy a bunch of material. And that was going to cost even more, because I have to have different material for the roof and stuff. And I was like, holy crap. And the time equity.
Yeah.
The time it takes to build these things. Right? So anyway, I can't remember who makes it. But it's a 12 by 12 chicken tractor, and it's got everything.
Yeah.
But when you look at things like that, you're like, holy crap, $4,000. But guess what? The thing's going to be there for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
and it will pay for itself. Like, you know, yeah, it's a big, but like you said, make good investments.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go out there and build the pretty little chicken tractor with the, mm-hmm. the planter on the side. Maybe one day,
mm-hmm.
but that stuff is expensive. And the time it takes to do it and to upkeep to make it, keep it looking nice
yeah.
is a nightmare, especially if you're working off your homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but yeah, make smart investments and don't get sticker shock. You know, like do a time and cost analysis side by side and like this one, I chose this one because it comes with a tarp cover,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. 2 years now, tarp's going to be trash probably. But the way this thing is built is I can put a metal roof on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can take that tarp off and I can roof the top of it because the way it's built, I can put a better roofing system on it that's going to last even longer.
Yeah.
And yeah, so anyway, mm-hmm. I can't remember what that thing's called.
I'm completely blanked on it.
Yeah, but it's amazing. It holds. Yeah. I could put 100 chickens in it. I'll never need that many at one time. But I only need one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of two. And it's got everything I want. It's got, you know, a way to hang stuff, the trough,
mm-hmm.
Waterer. I can put a waterer in it. You could put roosting bars in it if you want to do it for egg layers. We do it for meat birds.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is awesome. It's got, I could walk into it like a desk already. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm really excited about. Could stand up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what else you got over there? I went way off the reservation with that, but.
I put in here talking about dynamic systems, having things that go hand in hand.
Like permaculture?
Yeah, I mean.
Closed loop systems?
Yeah.
That help each other?
Yep.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. Like, get an education first.
Yeah.
Like, don't seem like you, okay, even if you have the opportunity to buy land now, great. Get the land. You know what the first thing they tell you in permaculture? Spend a year watching your land.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have the opportunity, like, I can pull the trigger right now and buy this land. Do it. If it's going to work out for you, but then spend the next year getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
Get a permaculture design certificate. Even if you don't want to do consultations and stuff, you'll have that knowledge, and that is invaluable.
Yeah.
And it's way better than any other education you can get watching some jackwagon on YouTube that actually doesn't do any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great channels out there. We can tell you all those, but get an education first. Mm-hmm. Learn how things grow. Learn about soil biology. Learn about composting. It's so much more important than I ever thought it was. I thought it was just something, you know, you should do. But yeah, I mean, you just have it off to the side. No, that should be like the foundation of your homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the, like if top three, like top three, compost is going to be in that top three.
Yeah.
Like must-haves.
Yeah.
So get an education before you start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start learning.
Anyway. Dynamic systems. You went off the rails again.
No, it did. It
a goes, little bit. Permaculture. Yeah. You went.
Well, that's what dynamic systems
deep
are.
Deep end. Well, that's where should it comes it, from. Richard. But I wasn't your putting brain permaculture has a
shill on it.
What?
What?
Oh my god.
Go ahead. Anyway.
Dynamic systems help with what? Time management.
Yeah.
And just utilizing things that will help each other, like having your compost pile or bin near your garden slash
water.
Yes.
That's something we're still struggling with 3 years later.
Yeah.
Water.
Water.
Water systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get those systems in place. Like,
don't be scared to automate something.
Yeah.
People say, ooh, automated? It's a homestead. I want to put my hands on everything. Okay. You go right ahead.
Yeah. Do you have an hour to water your garden every single day or?
In a little garden.
Yeah.
Or do you have a 3-acre garden like we have and a community garden
mm-hmm.
and you spend half a day watering?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can automate it, which Douglas the animal just dug our trench today to put water out in our garden.
Yeah.
So we will be automating it.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, dynamic systems
mm-hmm.
help each other out. They help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Your systems will help you if you help them. Right? Yep. That makes sense?
Yep. So some people think that homesteading means not having a regular 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
It's not the case for a lot of people who homestead. But find ways to help bring an income from your land, from your tiny little backyard, whatever it is.
And don't be scared to have that goal. Like, hey, in 5 years, 10 years, I want to live, support myself from my homestead. That's fine, but don't go in thinking I'm going 6 months, I'm quitting my job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah, play that by ear.
But like, have like diversify your income. Like, make bread and sell it. Go to the farmer's market and sell your, like, make soaps or whatever. Yeah.
Candles.
So there's so many things that you can do.
It's not necessarily selling things either. Provide a service. Teach people how to butcher chickens. Do workshops.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily have to be something you have to sell to leave your farm. You can bring people to your farm. Teach them, which you're also learning twice as you're teaching. So, yeah. So, yeah. But there's so many more. If we had this knowledge before we moved.
Oh, my gosh.
We would be set. Set. I would love to have all that time and money that we had started out with and do this again with what we know.
I know.
Yeah. But that's what we're here for. We're here to make these mistakes for you. We've already made those mistakes.
We have made the mistakes. Yeah. We're trying to get you to learn from them.
Yeah. Learn from our mistakes.
Yep.
But yeah. So homesteading doesn't have to be, it's going to be work if you go into it without a plan and a goal and the knowledge and education and whatnot before you start. I thought, group nest, it's nothing. And I mean, for the most part, I had a handle on mostly everything, but I grew up raising pigs. We raised pigs static. And when we brought two pigs on our property, I built this stupid pig pen that was completely unnecessary because that's the way I used to do it.
It had tall
fences. Cattle panel fences, had a permanent gate.
Yes.
And I was just, this is how I did it. And now, like, oh, dude, I could have just bought this 18-inch tall electric wire. And I could put a 400-pound pig in it.
Yeah.
And move him around.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just little things, like where we put our garden. You know?
Yep.
Way out of the way and stupid.
Yep.
I bought a tractor. Tractor's amazing.
Yeah.
When I needed it.
Yeah.
The first 3 months I had it, I put like 60 hours on it. And after that, it sat for a year, and I might have put 4 hours on it because I didn't really need it a whole lot anymore. So I ended up selling it. Got rid of it.
Yep.
It's awesome when you need it, but it's like, looking back, it's like, there's no way I'd have just borrowed a tractor for a little bit. And then, because if you put your systems in right, you don't need equipment. You might need it breaking into getting everything started. But after that, your goal is to get away from mechanization. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because you were there.
I was there.
Yeah. But yeah. So a lot of crazy mistakes we made.
Yeah.
We honestly thought like we're doing it right. Like we're going to make this happen. And it was going good. I mean, it was nice. It looked good. It's pretty. Smelled good. Everything. We got some pretty good stuff off the land and everything.
Yeah.
We got some meat off the land. We butchered some chickens, some pigs. But we got no return from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were trying to learn as we went also. Right? So get an education first. Come to the community garden every third Saturday and I'll teach you something.
Or somebody else.
Yeah, or somebody else.
We have some people lined up.
Yeah, thankfully, I don't have to do everyone, but I don't mind doing it. I like teaching. But there's going to be a time where I'm like, I got nothing. energy-wise or a plan because it snuck up on me. So we got some other people in our pocket willing to teach. And they're, I don't know if I'd say experts, or John is, or the B guy. Some of them are going to be high-level experts. I don't know if he's going to want money for it, which I think would be kind of lame because I want to do it for free. But yeah, look for places like that are willing to teach you proper. Like vet. Don't just say, oh, this guy's teaching a class. He must know what he's talking about. I'm just saying, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
I do not know everything. But I'm not just out there for the sake of talking. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to teach something like, yeah, I might know. I could probably wing that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
We'll bring somebody in that knows better. Mm. But find places like that. Vet these people and say, hey, this guy, make sure they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, people who just teach and don't do, no, stay away from those people.
Mm.
Because they might sound good on paper, but if you don't put your hands on something, you don't have the trial and error of what you're teaching, don't just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. But find people who are doing that and link up with those people. Because I could tell you from experience, because I'm me, I would love to meet someone just getting started and saying, hey, what should I do? I got you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not just for the sake of teaching or anything like that, but this is one more person that can be doing this right. And once we spread that, then that's when we can start pushing to get back against the regulations and everything. Because you get on your property and say, oh, man, I'm going to get out here and do this, that, and the other. And then the old government come in and say you can't.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
But I got my property. Like, do you, or do they get your property?
They got you.
They got you. Thanks to property taxes.
Yeah.
Ooh, should do one about taxes one day. So preparedness, you said they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
With homesteading.
Yeah.
You got anything else about homesteading?
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, we could sit here and give you an A, B, C, D list, 1, 2, 3 of what to do, but that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because your situation, your goals and everything is going to be so much different than ours. Your neighbors are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else. Don't go to your neighbor and say, hey, what are you doing? What do I need to do over here? Because that's going to set yourself up for failure. They can give you a good base or something like that, you know, whatever. They can help you out with certain things, but don't just try to copy and paste what somebody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because even right across the fence, right across the road, it's not going to work. But, you know, partner with people who are willing to teach you the basics, and then you build upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That makes sense?
Yep.
Yeah, so we can sit here and tell you this is what we did, and it failed. This is what we're doing now, and we're killing it. This is what you need to do. No, if somebody tells you that, turn around and run away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what you could do, and it will most likely work on your property. Start with that, and it build from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, you might teach me something. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's how you start a community. That's how you grow together. That's how you get better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get an education. Start small, one thing at a time. Start where you're at. That's mm-hmm. the main thing. Start where you're at. I'm so sick of people telling me, hey, can you come show me this, that, or this, whatever. That? Yeah, we're going to do this when we get land in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't ever call me again. Gosh. Call me when you get your land.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to call me when you get your land because you're going to be lost.
Yeah.
Start where you're at. Excuse me. Start small and start where you're at and get you some education.
Water break.
I'm chugging it over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, the preparedness aspect goes hand in hand with it because mainly if I had to tell people to say, why does preparedness go hand in hand with homesteading? Most people will say, well, you make your own food. Okay. So what?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? You will never be able to make 100% of your food.
Yeah.
Never. Like, even a place where we're at, we probably could
mm-hmm.
if I was 100% running the show and financing everything and just, you know, whatever. But in my mindset, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that. And so you will never produce 100% of what you make. That's where a community comes in. If you want to get off the grid. And that's another thing, too, I forgot to bring up. Don't pull out of the food system completely all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like we did. We said, we're not going to buy meat from the grocery store anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We stopped buying meat.
Yeah.
And we tried to produce our own, you know, grow our own. And the stuff we couldn't make, we found good, clean sources to support.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more expensive? Not really.
No.
It, like, again, you might get sticker shock because you might be buying in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
But compare that to what you're buying in a grocery store, it may be a little bit more, maybe the same, but it is 1,000 times better than what you're going to get in front of a grocery store.
Yeah.
So So even if it is a little more, it's well worth it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the way I look at preparedness that ties into homesteading is harvest.
Yeah.
If I had to sum it up with one word, somebody says, give me one word that ties preparedness into homesteading, I'll say harvest. And you'd be like, what? Mm-hmm. What? So harvest is one of my favorite words because Eric Sider, you know Eric Sider. Look up Eric Sider, people. This guy is awesome. Mm-hmm. He said in one of his talks, Pimpcast tip, or I can't remember where he said it. Modern agriculture is mining.
Mm-hmm.
It's not farming, it's mining. They're mining that land of resources.
Yeah.
It's strip mining. And so harvesting, so when you grow a garden, you're mindfully harvesting things. You're working with nature. You're working with the soil and the plants and everything, the birds, the pollinators, everything. You're working with that and you're harvesting a bounty, mm-hmm. if you will. When you're deer hunting, you're selectively harvesting. If you do it properly, you're not a jerk going or killing everything. You're selectively harvesting something to feed your family.
Yeah.
Right? Like I like that word because it encompasses all the good things about taking from nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, you're robbing from nature. No, this was put here for me to do this.
Yeah.
But you have to do it in a mindful way.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, you're not, so when you go into my description here, harvesting is not just about hunting, gathering, and all that stuff, but it's also about when you talk about food production, you want to mindfully harvest what you're growing and put it away.
Mm-hmm.
So that preparedness is, think about the ant and the grasshopper,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So a lot of, most homesteaders are grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, cool, look at all this stuff growing. It's so awesome. It's pretty. I'm going to post a picture of it. And then mm-hmm. they're like, I'll eat one tomato and the rest of it's going to go to waste because I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
The ants know what to do with it. They're preparing for the winter time, right? You're preparing for when things aren't growing.
Yeah.
Preparing. Preparedness. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. So you're preparing for the future of your food security, mm-hmm. right? So it goes hand in hand. So homestead, most homesteaders who are doing it right are naturally prepared. Prepared.
Minded.
Preparedness minded,
mm-hmm.
whether they like it or not. And there's a negative connotation attached to that word now because it's, oh, you're a hoarder.
Yeah.
But am I really? So my goal is to not buy food from a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that when I go to the grocery store once a month, when I get my EBT or my SNAP card or have to spend half my paycheck, you'll get this food. How long does that last?
Mm-mm.
Not long.
Mm-mm.
So you're telling me I'm a hoarder by preparing for my future food security, good food, that if you weren't a jerk, we could work out something. You can probably partake of this too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, don't let people tell you that. Let them say whatever they want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All that started... is to put that all is put there to scare people off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so homesteading and preparedness go hand in hand because of that aspect, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You think about water security, not just for your drinking water, possibly, but for your animals.
Yeah.
So right now, our hardest system to get in place is water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to run water lines everywhere because I move my animals around so much, especially the cows. It doesn't make sense to put a spigot every 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much time and energy and effort, money, and just craziness that would take to do that in, you know, multiple pastures? I had to put different wells and stuff out there.
Yeah.
But to have like a mobile watering system for different things or a water collection system for plants and animals. And if you're on a small area, you know, that's easier to do. But that preparedness mindset will set you up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm doing water collection. Now, I don't understand. A lot of places it's illegal to do that. Yeah. And the reasoning is so stupid, and most people just buy into it because the government said it.
Mm-hmm.
It must be right, right? Right?
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
So you prepare for things like that. Okay, we have a drought season sometimes, right? And then, okay, I could suck water out of my well, but why?
Yeah.
When I can put a water collection system attached to my mobile chicken tractor that collects rainwater
mm-hmm.
and waters my chickens. And guess what? You don't have to go out and drag a hose every day.
Yeah.
When it's raining and that's filled up, your chickens are getting water. You just go out there and make sure everything's functioning properly. Mm-hmm. Chickens are watered. Bam. Right?
Yep.
So that preparedness mindset helps with those, what'd you say?
Dynamic systems.
Dynamic systems. See, yep. It all goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
And really, what's at the core of it all? Permaculture. You're practicing permaculture whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. How do you see it? What's preparedness mean to you, Monica? That was so deep. Did you hear her answer? So deep.
What was deep?
Your answer.
I said having, and you were talking over me. And
because you were just sitting there like, duh. Anyway. Go ahead.
Having food and supplies prepared, put away for an event that may or may not shut down supplies from outsourced
supply trains. Remember toilet paper?
Bread and milk.
Oh, there's a hurricane coming. We got better go get bread and milk, the two like most perishable things in the grocery store. Why is that the first thing people get?
I don't know. You don't already have toilet paper?
I mean, why do you need that much
why
milk
do you want,
and bread?
Why do you want milk if you know you're going to lose power because of the storm coming?
Exactly. Gosh.
And the milk is going to go bad within a day.
But seriously, you'll be like a storm warning. We go into the grocery store to get like flour.
Mm-hmm.
And people's like freaking out, fighting over milk and bread. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's all the other stuff you could possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the least prepared people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not prepared for one day of power loss, let alone a week or more.
Yeah. Something else that really opened my eyes about being prepared, having a preparedness mindset, is it happened when Helene hit.
Uh-huh.
Hearing all the people that didn't have any way of communicating.
Oh, yeah.
Because cell phone towers, power was out.
I mean, they can shut that off too.
Yeah, but that too. But like having a way to communicate with your loved ones is huge.
Calling for help.
You don't have a cell phone anymore, you know? So thinking about communication is a big one.
Yeah. So that begs the question, why did the Biden administration make it to where you have to register all your ham radios?
Because they want to control you.
Huh. Interesting.
Grants my keys.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, communication is a big one. That's something I struggle with because I'm not a techie guy. And in the Army, anything to do with a radio other than talking on it, it's just like Chinese, man. I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really important skill to have, not necessarily like embitters and stuff that the military has, but now you have to have a license for everything. Like, you can push a button and go to jail.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a license for that.
How dare you?
Yeah. So I was just trying to talk to my homie across the town.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you're going to jail for pushing a button. There's kids missing, but you're going to jail because you pushed a button to talk to a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Idiots. But seriously, think about why all these regulations are in place.
Mm-hmm.
Not going conspiratorial yet. We'll get there one day. But there's a reason for it. There's a reason the homestead equipment is so expensive. There's a reason why we almost went completely broke trying to homestead.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, we'll get it. We'll get a return once we get our homestead up and we're making money off of it. No, we never got that far because of regulations and mm-hmm. inflation and stuff.
Yeah.
But put some thought into this. Like, what kind of house are you going to live in? Is there a house there already? Or do you have to build a house?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you're going to live in. If I could do it all over again, I would buy a raw piece of land and I'd build an earth ship.
Yeah.
But guess what? In our county, I just found out, is one of the most restrictive counties in the state. And they're very controlling about what you can and can't build.
Mm.
And I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we moved to a place that already had a home on it. And so that's not something you think about.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you move to a place like that, like our place, I would have stepped, if knowing what I know now, the first thing I would have done was made sure that house was disaster proof.
Yeah.
I would have switched to gas, tankless water heater, all that kind of stuff, and got a standby generator.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't cheap, but we had the money to invest in it at the time.
Yeah.
And that would have been, just that alone would have put us light years ahead of anybody else before we even started making food.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, to make sure that your freezer is full of meat, don't go bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just having that peace of mind that, yeah, I can still turn the stove on.
Yeah.
And cook my dadgum beanie weenies and make coffee while everybody else is sucking out there. And you know what I mean? So think about things like that first. Disaster proof your living area and then start a homestead maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, looking back, that's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chickens. Why are chickens... Why do people call chickens the gateway animal into homesteading?
I think because it's so easily available. I mean, you go to Tractor Supply right now, there's chicks.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, look how cute and cuddly. Yeah. Let's buy some. Let's take some home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of like clickbait.
It really is.
Homesteading clickbait.
It really is. Yeah. That should be on his t-shirt. Chicken and say homestead clickbait.
Yes. Instead of gateway. Oh my gosh. Write because that down.
You don't, I mean, chickens are amazing. They're amazing, amazing animals, but you got to know how to care for that. I think that's another thing too. It's just a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
If I kill, I'll go get another one for $4.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that chickens are one animal that gain in value the older they get.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe learn how to keep that animal alive and keep it happy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people overlook the fact of predators.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Everett just saw a crow carrying off an egg this morning.
Yeah.
At like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
First of all, who's laying an egg at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Stupid chickens.
You know, but yeah.
So. He was trying to get a head start on everybody else.
Oh, man. Yeah, but yeah, learn about the not so pretty stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to have honeybees, it sucks, but learn about what's going to kill a honeybee.
Yeah.
We have so many pests now that we didn't have 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when it was just easy to have bees. And now it's like everything's trying to kill a honeybee.
Mm-hmm.
Our government included.
Yeah.
I think all mine died last year.
Yep.
And I'm a pretty fair to decent beekeeper. Like, mm-hmm. I know bees pretty well. By means, no expert, but I can keep bees alive and struggling and watch them just die off, then that's heartbreaking. But figure out what's going to kill these animals on top of, you know, the fun, cuddly stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why chickens are the gateway animal, so to speak, into homesteading, because they're readily available and they're fairly easy to keep alive. I mean, chickens... It's hard to kill a chicken, actually.
Yeah.
But they're messy. They stink.
Mm-hmm.
They're annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, I mean, it ain't all pretty, but I think if you had to pick another animal to tell people to start with, I mean, because chickens take pretty... So think about a chicken, an egg layer. They got to have a house to keep them safe at night.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have somewhere to lay their egg. Food, water. Has to be done a certain way, or they will make a mess out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm redoing all of our water systems and all of our chicken areas because they, when the older they get, when there's time to move them out of the brooder, they roost on top of their waterer.
Yeah.
And they fill their water with crap.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they're messy, disgusting animals. They're they're the number two just most disgusting animal on a farm or homestead. Mm-hmm. Number one is goats. But it's a fair amount of infrastructure that goes into keeping these chickens.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of free range chickens.
Mm-mm.
I mean, not like I don't keep them in a box. Our chickens in our aviary and even our meat birds, they're considered free range and pasture raised because they get fresh grass multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Like we move them to the fresh grass. So they don't just sit in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but guess what? Their lifespan's a lot longer because we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Free range chickens are a nightmare.
Yeah. yeah.
an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
And so think about the infrastructure it takes to keep that. And in meat birds, it's the smallest animal. So one meat bird is the smallest animal you're going to butcher. It takes an enormous amount of material, time, and infrastructure to butcher chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could butcher a cow with a tree, a chain, and a knife.
Yeah.
A 1,000-pound animal with a chain and a knife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to, I could do it. I don't want to that way. But for a chicken, man, I mean, you could do it by hand if you're doing one at a time. But we're talking about 40, 50, 60 chickens at a time.
Yeah.
You know, that's an 8-hour day, usually. 8, 10-hour day. And it takes a lot to do that. And a lot of people don't think about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you had to pick another animal besides chickens to tell people, what's the first animal I should get?
I think pigs.
Pigs. That's what I was going to say, too.
I mean,
pigs are so easy.
Depending on the breed, like, they don't make a mess. Like, most people think of a pig, like a pig pen, like mud everywhere.
It can be.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. But if you do it right and you move them around or
whatever. Or even if you don't move them around, there's like our pig, Bumblebee.
Yeah, he's been in one spot for a while.
In one spot for a while. It's just one pig, but it doesn't stink.
Mm-hmm.
The chickens stink more than the pigs do.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there's a way to do it. In one spot, he's got plenty of room,
mm-hmm.
and he's in woods, kind of like a little wooded block.
Yeah, he doesn't need a shelter. He's in trees right now.
Yeah,
He's in literally one string hot wire.
Yeah, super easy.
Is it one or is it two?
I think his is two because we leave the house every day, and it is two.
Yeah, but like
he could just have one.
Yeah, he's super easily contained. He can't get out. Like, there's no him getting out. There's no way.
And he has a garbage disposal.
And he eats everything that we don't eat. So, food scraps.
Yeah. Yeah, pig. If you got the room for it, pig.
Yeah.
It's the way to go. And it's more satisfying because, I mean, they're super smart. They're compassionate to a point to where they recognize you. They want to be scratched for the most part. And not saying you got to go and make it a pet before you put it in a freezer, but for a pig, you want to make friends with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be scared of you. And when it's time to go in and butcher that thing, it's probably going to butcher you.
Yeah.
So you have to make friends with it to a certain degree to where it's comfortable around you. You know, you feed it, you go in and scratch it on the head or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, talk to it a little bit so that way it knows not to be scared of you. But but you also get some of the other uses for it. You clear land, you know, like little brushy areas. Like I said, it's a food disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And you get bacon.
Yep.
Which is not my favorite part of the pig. Didn't we talk about this one time?
I don't know if we actually talked about that.
How do you raise pigs and not be bacon be the favorite part of the pig?
What's your favorite part of the pig?
Pulled pork, shoulder.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I love putting a shoulder on the smoker, smoking it 12, 15 hours.
Mm.
Got that rub on there, brown sugar and stuff. And
Stop it. You know what mine is, though?
You can pull it. You can just cut chunks off of it and eat it, or you can just take a bite out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the fridge and be like, bro, I'm going to pull you out tomorrow. I'm going to take a few more bites out of you.
Gosh.
What?
Pork chops.
Oh, yeah.
Pork chops.
Yeah, like farm-raised pork chops.
Farm-raised pork chops are hands down better than anything you could buy from the grocery store. Yeah.
And news alert, pork isn't white. Pork is not supposed to be white.
No.
Yeah. Our pork looks like beef.
Mm-hmm. Oh, especially the guinea and the
guinea hog and the coonies.
Coonies, they're like dark red.
Yeah.
Delicious. We always
end up talking about food because it goes hand in hand with homesteading and preparedness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is it William and Billy suggest?
William?
Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
When he does a consultation, food security.
Oh, yeah. So the first thing he asks you is if you have food put back. And if you don't, he suggests that you have 6 months of food per family member put back before you even start growing anything.
Yeah.
Because if it hits the fan tomorrow, I mean, Are you going to be out there gardening? Maybe.
Maybe, but.
Hopefully, but maybe not. And it's, you know, it's a good thing to have food put away.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be store-bought crap.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that stuff's okay, but you can also freeze-dry stuff.
Yeah.
Dehydrate stuff. Jar can stuff, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too, when it comes to, like, canning. If you want to learn to do that, don't worry so much about, oh, well, my tomatoes didn't grow that good. I didn't have any okra. Well, go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And buy stuff to can.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that way when you grow your stuff, you're not trying to learn while you're harvesting.
Because
I'm going to tell you right now, most of that stuff is going to go to waste.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh, man, I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I should try this right now. Well, if you get to education first, go to the farmer's market, and it's not a way to build a relationship with someone who's already doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And then buy some okra, buy some tomatoes, buy whatever you want to can and learn how to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's time to harvest your own vegetables and whatnot, you already know how to do that.
Yeah.
And it's easy. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're preparing for your future food security.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but education, a real one. Get a real one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to college.
Yeah.
Addison.
Addison, are you still listening to
us?
Are
you out there, Addison?
Is this thing on?
I need a contact. I didn't hear from her in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's on summer. She didn't say nothing about coming to work on the farm this summer.
Oh, she's too busy with her new guy.
I'd hire him.
Yeah.
Where
are y'all at?
Yeah.
I'm going to call her after we're done.
Text her. I should call her right now.
Yeah. Do it.
You're on the podcast.
Do it.
Let me see. I wonder if she would answer. I wonder, can you hear like a...
I don't know.
Let's try it.
Phone up to the microphone. How long have we been on here? Hour and 11.
Oh, yeah. We got time.
Oh, yeah. We got time.
We'll call her. Watch this. Or she's at work, though. She won't answer. If she can talk, she'll answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's ringing.
Ooh, I can hear it really good.
I'm so nervous.
You dork. Oh, right there.
Yeah, I could hear it, like, where it needs to be. Uh-oh, she ain't going to answer. She's probably...
Hello?
Oh, hey, Addison.
Hi, Uncle Tanner.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm at FFA camp right now.
Are you FFA camp?
Nerd.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, guess what you're doing right now?
What am I doing?
You're on the podcast right now.
Am I actually?
Yeah.
Hi, podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Addison.
Hey, Addison.
Now,
what is this episode on?
We're talking about homesteading and preparedness, but we're talking about how, like, oh, Addison's out of school, and I haven't heard anything about her wanting to work on the farm this summer.
I mean, I did. You just got to text me a week so I can take off work for it.
That's up to
any
you.
Any week.
Yeah, you know I'm out here. I live out here pretty much.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, so I was like, I'm a caller and see. I'm going to talk to her.
When's the next time y'all are killing something?
We're butchering chickens at the end of this month.
I could help with that.
Yeah.
Bring your guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Grady?
Is it?
It's like the... It's like the last week of this... what's the June, right?
Yeah.
Last week of this month.
Okay. You just gotta let me know the date because I'm like in and out of town a lot that week, but I'm like in town for some days.
Of course you are.
I can't. I can't wait to listen back to this. So what you doing at FFA camp?
Kayaking, going to the pool, playing games, or going to the beach. We're going to Broadway. Broadway walk. Myrtle.
How was that teaching to be a future farmer of America?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. Low-key, don't really like it that much, and I want to go home. But I
paid
$210 for it, so.
Oh, snap.
Come home to us, Addison.
Can't go home.
Yeah, I got you. All right, well, I'll let you get back to it. I'll send you some butcher dates.
Okay, bye, podcast.
All right, peace out, Addison. Love you.
Love you.
Bye. That's funny. I can't.
Oh, man.
That's Could you hear it good?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Every once in a while. She had a lot of background noise.
She did. You know how she is.
She always does.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're in Myrtle Beach for an FFA.
That's what I'm saying. Camp. How's that? That's the problem with these organizations.
Yeah.
Okay. It's cool to have. It's all right to have fun every now and then. But if you're teaching these kids how to do these things,
mm-hmm. why aren't they at a
go
real
to
farm?
White Oak Pastures for a week?
Yeah. Why couldn't they go there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like Joel anyway. Salatin's or mm-hmm. something. I don't know. Or out here.
Yeah.
Maybe. I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to figure out what direction we're going in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
What else you got for homesteadery and preparedery?
I have a question.
Oh.
I have a question for you.
Hey, hold on, podcast. We got a caller. Go ahead, caller.
What does it mean to you to be off-grid?
Off-grid. To me, being off-grid is exactly that. I mean...
But some people take it.
The lame answer, but so I mean that's kind of hard to answer. Like, obviously, if you think about it, if you romanticize it,
mm-hmm.
I'm in a cabin in Alaska, 100 miles from the nearest grocery store.
Yeah,
I got a best friend that's a wolf, and we hunt grizzly bears. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones and The Hunted. That's how I wanted to live when I was a kid. But like off grid now to me is. Not being tied into financial slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bill after bill after bill, man. I mean, you got light bill. I mean, water bill if you're in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just everything, internet, Wi-Fi. But, yeah, to me, it's being out of the financial slavery system.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're... Everything solar because solar sucks.
Yeah.
Solar is a nightmare to maintain. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know if that made sense. But, I mean, everything's designed to suck money out of you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And any way that I can, like, cut those corners and get away from that, to me, that's off grid. I guess if that makes sense.
Yeah.
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 But, I mean, like, there's so many things you could do. Like we're off of the food grid, kind of.
Yeah.
We spend very little money at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Very little money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, that's a type of off-grid. You're off the food grid. You know what I mean? And then so next, what can we do to be more off the grid? Water.
Yeah.
Which we kind of are. We have a well.
Mm-hmm.
But we could do better at that.
Yeah.
Water collection. You know, water collection systems, things like that. LP gas.
Yeah.
Like I would love to switch to gas.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But when most people think about off-grid, they're like, oh, you use a stove? You don't cook everything over a fire?
Yeah.
Like, no. Well, like, daggum, freaking Pocahontas?
Mm-hmm.
I hear like, no, I use a stove. And guess what? I use toilet paper, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not using corn cobs, but that's how a lot of people see off-grid.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the most bare minimum. And if you're using toilet paper, you're not off grid.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we do buy at a grocery store.
Yeah.
But I mean, but yeah, so, but even there, looking to get a biodigester, composting toilet.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds disgusting, but if you do it right, I mean, no more plumbing nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Septic tanks are plumbing nightmares.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, I have a septic tank, I'm off grid. I have a well, I'm off grid. It takes power to run that well.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how I look at it. Mostly, I mean, we live in a financial slave system. We're living on a financial slavery plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. So, but do one thing at a time. Like we're off the meat. We're off the food grid, basically, mostly.
Meat. Yeah.
Meat.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely meat, but one thing at a time, man. And if we can do better with our water collection
mm-hmm.
system, because if the power goes down, guess what? We can't use our well.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest. I don't have the proper generator to run a well.
Mm-hmm.
My main focus when our power goes out is keeping the freezers cold.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't lose all the daggone meat.
Yep.
We got about 3 days before I got to worry about that, so we keep them closed.
Mm-hmm.
We come live at the farm because we have standby generator and AC
yeah.
or a heater if it's the winter time. Yeah. So, Yeah, that's what off grid means to me.
Mm.
What about you?
It used to mean not have like literally, it was literally off the electrical grid. Yeah. Was what I always thought of it as, but now I see it as how you said is completely different than what I looked at it from the outside. Now that we're here, not saying that we're off grid or anything, but we know better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just unplugging. So that's how most people say I'm unplugging from the system. And most people think, oh, I'm literally turning my electricity off and doing it a different way.
Yeah.
Cool. If you can finance that, because it is enormously expensive to do it that way, cool. But the way I see it is keep your electricity.
Yeah.
And then change things over time, like unplug from the food grid, unplug from the water grid, unplug from the plumbing grid. I can't stand indoor plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep.
And yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, unplug from one little system at a time. Like even the way you make coffee.
Yeah.
That's how we did. We're like, okay, what in here is sucking power out the wall that we necessarily don't need?
Mm.
So we got rid of our coffee machine and we got a Chemex.
Yeah.
And we still need a stove to heat the water up. But if you had LP gas or if your power goes out and then you got a propane stove, you still boil water. You got jet boil. Yes, you could still boil water.
Yeah.
And then you pour that water over the coffee and the Chemex. And I think it tastes way better.
I do too.
Takes a little longer to make it, but who gives a crap?
Not by much.
Yeah. But it's a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, there's no weird stuff where the germs are hiding in. And
yeah.
But yeah, do one thing at a time like that. Get rid of your coffee maker. Do it a little more manually. Do a French press. Do a Chemex.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite so far is a Chemex. What else is there? brain fart. Holy crap. What was I going to say? Coffee maker and then, I don't know. But yeah.
There's just so many things we could mention.
Yeah, just one thing at a time like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Try cooking one meal, like, with no power one day.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, once a week. I'm like, we did that a lot because it was fun. We used to cook outside over the fire all the time. Mm-hmm. You know? Because guess what? You know, I'm going to go cook this chicken leg over the fire. But I don't even know how to make a fire. I can't get it going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how people say, well, I'm going to cook all my food over the fire. What if it's pouring down rain and wind's blowing 35 miles an hour and it's lightning? We just not going to eat for 2 days? So some people's view of it is very weird. Guess what? Tommy Lee Jones living that little cabin in The Hunted. It's a movie set.
Yeah.
It was looked awesome, but you can't live that way. Some people can, but it's a very small margin, and those people are still connected to the grid in a way nowadays. You got a debit card? That's another thing too. How do we get out of the financial grid?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're never going to with paying all these freaking taxes, property taxes, income taxes, everything. So whether you like it or not, you will never be off grid like used to be you could.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that made sense to some people out there. I hope I tick at least one person off every episode. I mean, I don't say that to be mean, but that's how you wake some people up.
Yeah.
Like, some people don't respond to positive messages and things. They're like, oh, whatever. But if you piss somebody off, they're going to pay attention. And then they're going to stew about it. And then they're going to be like, oh, well, maybe, why am I so mad about this? You're not mad. You're passionate. If you're going to be politically correct.
Oh, my gosh.
You're passionate about it. Like, slow down and find out why you got so passionate about my negative message.
Jeez.
But that's how you wake people up.
Yeah.
So I hope I at least tick one person off every time I do a podcast. I don't care. Whatever. And if they're just mad at me because they want to be mad at me, you can get to stepping and go listen to somebody else.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm just being honest. Addison, when's the next time you're killing something? Oh, man. We're not killing things, Addison. We're harvesting them. Didn't you listen to the podcast?
She better be listening.
She was on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else you got?
I got nothing.
What about the word?
You got the word.
I do got a word.
Word.
And
of the
it's
day.
Exactly a month to today. I've been thinking about it.
How
it
do
was
you
at
know?
A, huh?
How do you know? Word.
Because it was the last council meeting. Tonight's the council meeting.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I was going to go to it, but it's already 5:15. And
is it really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I didn't get back to the farm till a little after 3.
Jeez.
All right, so the word, they were talking about doing a moratorium.
Oh.
Moratorium. And I was like, as they were talking, I was like, it makes sense in the context that they're talking about. I was like, what does that mean exactly? So what they were saying was, so there are some businesses on our main street. It's like second story business, two stories. And the guy we've become friends with, David, who runs the Artisan Center, actually lives in one of those buildings. He lives on the second floor. And that's how we were talking about it one time, I think, how traditionally these businesses would have the business on the bottom and they would live up top.
Yeah.
And so that's how David, he has the business, the building, he lives up top, but he doesn't do anything on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of businesses downtown like that. And not as much as there used to be, but you walk past these buildings and be like, man, it'd be nice if there was something there useful.
Yeah.
But it's just like whoever owns it is using it for storage.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said they're going to impose a moratorium on these business owners, these building owners, to make them do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just clutter. Mm-hmm. Because you're walking downtown, you got, I mean, downtown looks better than it has in, as far as I, as long as, I mean, I've never looked this good.
Yeah.
Like downtown's got to go. I like being downtown now.
Yeah.
Like, we go to the coffee shop almost every day.
Yeah.
You know, and then Kelly's there with her store, Amelia, Twig.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just, you know, it's thriving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could always be better, but it's amazing right now. But you got to think, you're walking, you hear about Walterboro traveling through.
Mm-hmm.
You stop and say, oh, okay, whatever. And, you know, this idiot on this podcast said, check out this coffee shop. So we stop in Walterboro, check out the coffee shop. You walk and be like, dude, half these buildings are just storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're trying to get away from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I agree with it. Not to the point where it's like, hey, if you don't do something with this, you're going to get kicked off your property. I still own that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I kind of understand.
It's kind of like they're old buildings, for one.
Yeah, they're historical, like, buildings.
Yeah.
Walterboro actually has, in next year, our 200th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. You told me about that.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Gosh.
So anyway, so moratorium. A lawful suspension of the payment of certain debts during a period of financial or civil distress. The period during which such a suspension occurs, a suspension of an ongoing or planned activity. Now it makes less sense.
Yeah.
It really does. I thought if I had to guess, I would say, okay, they're imposing a moratorium on these people. Does that mean they're making them do something? Like give? I don't know. So maybe they're suspending their taxes or their something so they can invest that money into making that building better.
Oh.
Oh, maybe. That's kind of cool, actually, then.
Yeah.
If you're like, say, hey, you don't have to pay property taxes for the next 3 years as long as you put that money into doing something that's building or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Huh. Learn something every day.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have to ask Ladson next time I talk to him.
What is a moratorium?
What's a moratorium mean? He's going to be like, come here, little guy.
I know. He could totally pick you up like a baby, too.
No, he couldn't.
Yeah, he could.
No, he couldn't.
Taller than you.
He's taller, but
you don't think he's stronger?
Stronger?
Well, not stronger. Like, strong enough to pick you up like
they're
a baby.
Very. Oh, Monica. There are very little people that are stronger than Tanner.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way.
You ever heard of a guy named Lou Ferrigno? You know why he went deaf?
You?
Yeah, me. Because I was in the gym. That's where Arnold got it from.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The only reason Arnold beat me for Mr. Universe is because my Speedo popped right before I went on stage and I didn't have a replacement. So I couldn't go out there and compete. But, and also, I wasn't born yet.
What?
I don't know. I don't even know what year that was.
Wow. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway. But, yeah. Am I going to stay and do another lecture?
I don't know. It's 5:15.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to, but I've... I just want to go let my dog out the kennel and shower, kind of.
Take a break.
Yeah.
Let your mind rest.
Yeah, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Got jujitsu tomorrow?
Yep.
I'm actually to a point to where I look forward to going.
Finally.
Yeah, it took a while because it was hard to figure out where is this going to fit in my crazy schedule.
Yeah.
But now that we said, okay, Tuesday's podcast day because we don't really have anything on Tuesday. So we have Monday, jiu-jitsu, Wednesday and Thursday, jiu-jitsu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's 3 days of jiu-jitsu. And right now I'm only doing one of those days.
Yeah.
I'm doing Wednesday. And then Everett does Monday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, but, yeah, I figured it out and I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning Japanese.
Yep.
I got everybody. I saved everybody from having to do push-ups last Wednesday because I answered a question.
Yeah.
And it was driving me crazy when Stefan was quizzing everybody and he started with that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept asking her over and over. I was like.
I was like,
bro, ask me.
I was like, I know this.
We made flashcards. Like, these kids have been here for a while. I was like, y'all know this yet?
Yeah.
Like, why are y'all here?
Bruh.
Yeah.
I got you.
I know what it is. And then I blew his mind when he was like, who's the founder of jiu-jitsu? And I rattled it off. And he was like, what's his rank? I rattled it off. And he's like, you're a smart guy. He's like, I only taught you that like once.
Yeah, literally.
And I was like, well, I made flashcards.
It was the day that he wrote everything on the board. Yeah. You took pictures and you wrote everything out.
Yeah, I made flashcards because I don't do anything half bunky.
Oh my gosh. I was waiting for you to say it. I was half what?
I don't half cheek nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, does half cheek make sense? Because that would be like a quarter butt. Half a cheek would be a quarter of a whole butt.
Half butt. Yeah. You can't do a quarter.
Oh, we got to come up with another way to say that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Full bonk donk. Full donk.
Donk.
I don't half donk nothing.
Oh, jeez. I don't like that one.
No?
No.
Anyway. Hey, we got another t-shirt idea. Actually, we come up with two. Well, another one today with the chicken.
What was this one? Oh. You say it.
Homestead clickbait.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. So, soil is alive, dirt is inert.
Yeah.
That's all be cool. Nerdy.
Yeah.
You know, a little picture of like a nematode or something on there. We'll figure it out. One day we'll actually make some t-shirts.
Yeah, one day.
All right, anyway, getting off here. Are we driving one vehicle home now?
I'm good with that.
You can bring me out here in the morning?
What's tomorrow morning?
Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll be out here.
Cool. I have AC now because my truck still doesn't have AC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to go home. We'll ride home in AC. All right. Anyway, so if you're listening and you're local and you have a child, 6 years to 12 years, hit up our summer camp next month. It's on, you didn't tell them how to find it, on the Facebook.
It's page on Facebook.
Under the
Keep Walterboro Beautiful Community Garden. There's a flyer. It's on my Facebook page. If you know me personally, it's in July 14th.
Yeah, the week of July 14th. Yeah. 5 days. It's going to be like 8-1. And it's going to be $50 per child.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's cheaper than most summer camps. Let's be honest. Don't come at me saying, oh, you should do it free. I'm tired of doing things for free, man.
Yeah. I mean,
like, I don't mind doing things and helping out, but I mean.
Yeah.
You don't complain about giving Walmart money. Burger King, McDonald's.
Yeah.
Bro, pay me for my time every now and then.
It's not even like. Money's not really going to us
at all.
No,
it's staying in the garden.
It's whatever we don't use for the camp is going.
Actually, the way it made me think of that, circle back to that, is because if we have money left over, we're going to make summer camp t-shirts for next year.
Yeah.
For the kids to have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to grow it. We're going to reinvest the money back into it and grow it better every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not paying me. It's for the kids.
So they can have t-shirts.
So they can have t-shirts and other awesome stuff. And then we'll, instead of feeding them stuff we find in our freezer, we'll actually get them some real food next year because we'll have money. Not really. Not really. If you bring your kid, we're going to feed them.
We have them really good.
Side Street Deli. It's going to donate some sandwiches one day. We'll probably do pizza one day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got some details to work out, so, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you ready to get off here? How long have you been on here now?
Hour 34.
Oh, look at that. Time management master.
Yeah.
You got any parting thoughts?
Start small, homestead, boom, yow. Go do it.
Wow. Start where you're at.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even more so than starting small, because what if you do have an acre or two?
Start very small.
Start where you're at.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, well, I need a few more acres to have cows. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't need cows at all. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we're in a big cow area right now, and it kind of sucks because nobody's doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do know somebody who is doing it right and who has the proper acreage and the knowledge and everything to raise cows, but they're not doing pigs, raise some pigs and trade up for some beef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So start where you're at. Start small. And get you to education.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
Yep.
I hope all this made sense to some degree. So, I'm sure there's so much more we could have talked about. And it's hard for us to not go so in-depth with topics like this. But it was just a topical observation, if you will. Topically rambling. Oh, I forgot about it. Topically rambling.
Yeah, we hadn't used that in a long time.
Yeah. So, yeah. But well, like I said, we can give you an ABC list. And a lot of people are looking for that, but that's a trap.
Yeah.
It's like these five things
mm-hmm.
will make you a professional homesteader and you'll be a millionaire next year.
Yeah.
No, that's a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get up out of here.
Okay.
So we'll see y'all next Tuesday. Not see you, but talk to you. Maybe we'll call somebody else. Who else could we call? Let's call Austin next time.
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that one.
I'm not going to do it every episode, but I'm going to call somebody every now. I'm going to call Nanny. Like, so, Nanny, what did you think about our community garden that you didn't want to get out and look at? No, anyway. I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I think it was fun. I hope it picks up good. It doesn't sound weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, if you have a topic you want us to talk about, hit us up on the email, and I will gladly talk about it. Because yep. I like talking.
Yep.
I'm still talking because yes, Monica is getting uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Look at her.
You can't look at me.
All right. Anyway, we'll see y'all next week. And as always, keep your powder dry.
And your Bibles close.
Peace out.
Bye.